Welcome to the Kobe Show. Take two.
Doesn't matter if I'm sick. It doesn't matter if I have a sprained ankle. The kid that's sitting in there might be the next me sitting up there, watching and trying to get inspiration from that. I need to go out there and play.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios, as we continue to dedicate today's show to the life and legacy of Kobe Bean Bryant. I still can't believe that I'm saying that. We brought on Jameson Welsh, great friend of mine, during the last segment. I'm going to bring on another great friend of mine and an excellent basketball mind. Someone that, again, through the love and inspiration of Kobe Bryant, I became great friends and also a colleague with, and that's Jabari Davis. Of course, Jabari has his podcast, Hot Takes and Shot Fakes. We'll talk about that in just a bit. Jabari, I appreciate you making out time today as well.
Absolutely, no problem. As soon as you reached out, you knew it was a yes. I've got to talk to somebody like you on a day like this.
Yeah, it still doesn't seem real, and I've tried many ways since late last night, to formulate the right show on how to honor Kobe. So rather of talking about the tragedy, talking about everything that made him the Black Mamba, and it's still hard to do. It still doesn't seem real.
Yeah, like we were speaking, you know, just before coming on, like it's a surreal feeling. Like when I got the news yesterday, I thought, "There's no way. I don't believe that. Get out of here." You know, like and of course, you know, I'm back channeling and checking everything and, you know, telling myself that the TMZ report was wrong, when in reality, you know, we actually all know that TMZ's been pretty darn right for a long period of time. But even as I woke up this morning, I thought, like, no, there's no way. That had to have been a dream. And then, you know, check the timeline out. No, it was not a dream, and it's still the same nightmare.
I think, Jabari, if we go back and we look at Kobe's career, part of the reason why he resonates with people like you and I is the fact that we got to see his entire career. And not only that, we got to see Kobe Bryant when he was a 17-year-old kid. You know, he was a kid becoming a man. And I've said this today, and I'm going to go back to it. He was teaching us that it didn't matter if you were 17. It didn't matter if you were 18. It didn't matter if you were a kid in your profession. He was going to take that belief that we had in him the day he was introduced as the newest member of the Los Angeles Lakers with Jerry West. He was going to take that belief that we had in him, and he was going to prove to us that it was warranted. And so here we got to watch a kid become a man. We got to see that man improve personally. We got to see that man improve professionally. And we got to see Kobe, as I have said multiple times on this show, become the greatest basketball player that I have ever watched in my entire life. And maybe that's why this is so much different than any other figure. The fact is, we were there with him through it all.
You, honestly, I don't know that I can put it any better than you just did. The reality is, as someone who was born in 1979, as a small child, I grew up watching and idolizing Magic. But again, I was a small kid. I was, you know, 6 years old, 7 years old, 8, 9, and 10 when he was winning those titles. So while I appreciated him and enjoyed them, enjoyed the heck out of them, I didn't have the same type of appreciation that you have when you're, you know, when you're an adult, when you understand it, when you recognize all the work that goes into it, all the work that goes into being truly, truly one of the all-time greats, as in Kobe Bryant. So in the 90s, you know, like I understood what Mike was all about, and I got it. But you're right. Kobe comes into the league in 96. He's 17 years old. I'm 16 years old at the time. I literally grew up with Kobe Bryant, on front stage, front and center. So being able to say I have watched every single game of his career except for two, that sounds crazy, because yes, that's the reality. I watched every game of his career except for two. So this is going to sound crazy, and, you know, of course there are going to be the listeners out there to say, come on guys, there's tragedy, like every day, and of course there is. One life isn't worth more than the others, and we should also always acknowledge that You know, obviously his daughter passed away, and one of her friends passed away, and the parents, and all of the other individuals. But when you have a person that, again, I feel as though I grew up with him, it felt like a family member dying. It wasn't just an all-time great. It wasn't just somebody that I watched from afar. It was someone that you know, beyond growing up and watching and marveling over all of the incredible things that, you know, that he did. Once I became, you know, someone that, you know, was in a position to cover the league, you know, whether it was working for USA Today or LakersNation.com or any of the other, you know, websites that, you know, that I worked for, or even, you know, doing the podcast that the two of us, you know, actually that you and I and Jameson had on this very radio station, for a couple years. It just meant something more, because, like I said, it truly felt like a member of the family passed away yesterday.
No, I agree. I agree 100%. And I go back to the very first time I got to meet Kobe when I was a kid, and my love for Kobe grew even more after my first interaction with him. Then, as a working media member, I had the opportunity to go interview my idol, and yet I wasn't even the least bit nervous, because it felt like I knew everything about this guy. It felt like I knew him on a personal level. And it's so hard to put into words. And the problem with doing this segment is we're going to look back on it 10 minutes after it's done, and we're going to say, you know what, I should have added this, because there's so much that we can say about this guy. But Jabari, he is the guy that the word idol, the word role model, he inspired me in so many different ways professionally. He inspired my work ethic. He inspired just the idea of Mamba mentality, which has become a way of life. And it's something that I have passed on to my daughter. And I know it's the same for you. It's hard to put into words for people who maybe don't understand, but this is legitimately a family member.
The best way that I can say it is the guy was an icon. It's one thing to be great. It's one thing to be very good at whatever your, you know, chosen field is, whether it's sports or science or anything in between, right? It's a whole other thing to where you reach, you know, an iconic level, and he was. This is a global story. This is not just an NBA story. It's not just a Los Angeles story. It's not just a California story. It's not just a United States story. It's a global story, because he had global impact. And again, look, when someone passes away, there will always be those that want to remind you of the bad things and the questionable things. And all of that is the case. Like, nobody is a perfect individual. But at the same time, this is an individual for all of the different, you know, all of the different ways that he, you know, he was striving for greatness. He, as you just mentioned it, he inspired others to do the same. So he might not have been for everybody, but for those of us that looked up to him, you know, looked up to him from a professional perspective, and looked up to him even on a personal level, this one hurts, man. It really does. Like, I wish that I had something better for you than that. It just hurts.
Again, Jabari Davis, great friend of mine, joining us right now. We'll talk about Jabari's podcast in just a moment, Hot Takes and Shot Fakes. Jabari, when you talk about the personal inspiration that you draw from Kobe, I know you're a lot like me. When we're at work, right, we think of Kobe. We think of the Mamba mentality. We think of the Mamba face, right? When you're playing basketball, when you're playing pickup basketball, when you're doing something as simple as playing a board game, I know you're like me. You think of it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I know it's cliche and I know it's kind of corny to, you know, talk about the Mamba mentality, but it is something that you embrace. You know, even if you don't call it that, even if it's the ability to, you know, see beyond what you are at that moment, and, you know, envision, you know, so much more. It's the ability to say, I'm up against, you know, my back's against the wall, I'm up against it, but I'm going to find a way. I'm going to will myself to finding a way. And then, honestly, you know, like, we don't even have to take this as, you know, just sports related. Like, as you mentioned, you use it over the court, you know, like, all throughout your life, and I do the same exact thing. It's, you know, it really is really just seeing yourself as a success and doing whatever it takes in order to accomplish that. You know, so, yeah, I mean, again, like, you know, there will be some that look at this and say, like, oh, this is kind of cheesy and, you know, whatever. But the reality is, you know, we lost an all-time great in terms of basketball, and we also lost an all-time great in terms of, you know, the impact that he had on so many different people's lives.
We talked about this last segment, and again, I'd love to get your perspective, because obviously you're very, very familiar with Los Angeles. That is Kobe's town, and I think it goes back to everything that we just talked about a few moments ago. I shouldn't say town, that's Kobe City. this is, again, a city that has embraced this guy through thick and thin. Kobe stuck with us for 20 years because we stuck with him for 20 years. I mean, that's the connection there. And, you know, you go to the Staples Center today. Here we have one of the greatest basketball players to ever live in LeBron James. And I was just at Staples Center 2 years ago. You walk up to a concessions kiosk, you're going to find a LeBron James jersey. You're going to find an Anthony Davis jersey. But guess what? Right next to it, you're going to find a Kobe Bryant jersey. I mean, that was just 2 months ago. And I think that that speaks to the impact that he had on the entire city of Los Angeles. We're talking about the second largest media market in the country. Okay, I'm not trying to diminish what other players mean to other areas, but we're literally talking about Los Angeles. It's the city of champions. There's been so many legendary figures that have rolled through this area, yet still, 4 years after his retirement, Kobe Bryant is still the top act, even with LeBron James being in the building, even with the Los Angeles Dodgers going to two World Series over the last 3 years, even with the return of pro football with the Rams and Chargers, it's still all about Kobe.
Yeah, look, I look at it like this. In a town or city that is built amongst or around the stars and centered around the stars, he was a star of stars. I look at, you know, like I've been in situations where I was in the room with him where there were other actors and famous people and things of that nature, and everyone, all eyes would still gravitate towards him. And, it, you know, so like really, you know, the best way I could say it is he was the star or a star of all stars. And you know, to your point about like it's been 4 years, you're never going to not see. And I know it's a double negative, but bear with me. You're never going to see a case where Kobe's jersey isn't for sale in Staples. Some part of that now is because you know anytime you have an all-time great that you know passes you know unceremoniously or you know or before anyone expected, it's one of those situations where they are instantly immortalized. But this would have been the case regardless. It definitely is going to be the case now.
Jabari, before I let you go, I want you to share with me your fondest Kobe memory, or two, because for me, I can't simply put one down. There's far too many. He put a smile on my face far too many times. He gave me hope far too many times. But for you, a memory or two of Kobe that for you is at the top of what should be a very long list.
All right. Mine is very simple, but there's a quick backstory, and bear with me. I'll be as quick as possible. It's Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals in 2000. It's the, you know, obviously the Lakers and Blazers. It was a great series, a back-and-forth series, one where even in Game 7, the Lakers went out to a lead, then the Blazers quickly just, you know, took over, and it looked bad, you know, down the stretch. For that game, again, I'll try to be as quick as possible. For that game, I happened to also be, at the time, working for the Department of Recreation. At that time, I was actually coaching Ice Cube's kids. For whatever reason, Ice Cube took a liking to me. I was 19, 20 years old. It was a great time in life. He offered me tickets to that game to go and watch it with him. For whatever the reason is, I could not make it. He was like, "Are you serious?" Anyhow, long story short, you know, I get stuck in L.A. traffic, which is crazy. I end up, you know, getting off the freeway, making it home with a buddy of mine. We're watching, you know, we turn the game on. It's the third quarter. As a matter of fact, it's the third going into the fourth. We were all panicked. We were all nervous. My boy's telling me stupid stuff like, "See, you know, you didn't even need to go to that game. Look what happened." And I'm telling, you know, of course, I'm, you know, giving him, you know, the daggers through my eyes. But anyhow, we watched the game. They end up coming back. You know what happened. You know, rebound to Shaq, then the pause, then Bryant to Shaq. It's, you know, the most amazing moment, you know, like honestly, like of his early career, and it's almost fitting, especially given what we all think of him and what a lot of people have said about him, that one of his most iconic moments, you know, came as a pass in the biggest moment on the biggest stage at the, you know, at the biggest time at that point of his career. So for me, that is one of, you know, that is one of those moments that will always, you know, live in eternity for me. And, you know, quite frankly, Cube was kind enough to take me to game two of those finals, the actual Jalen Rose game where he stepped underneath him and he acknowledges it now. I was at that game up in his box, and it was a great moment.
Beautiful. Jabari Davis, again, the host of Hot Takes and Shot Fakes. Jabari, it is always a pleasure to get you on the show. Thank you so much for helping out today, brother. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely my pleasure. I appreciate you having me on again.
We're going to break one last time. When we come back, we're going to close out the show the way we should with Kobe's award-winning piece narrated by him, Dear Basketball, right here on Drive Time Sports.